Okay, Proverbs chapter 5. We are 4/31 through the book of Proverbs. Take heart, we've only got several years left. Proverbs 5 and verse 1. Proverbs 5:1 says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding." A lot of this is probably going to be review because Solomon has said similar things in the Proverbs already. So let's look at the first part of the verse. "My son, attend unto my wisdom." So this is not the first time that Solomon has exhorted his son to attend to his wisdom, and it won't be the last either. He did so in Proverbs 4 and verse 1. He says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And then in verse 20 of chapter 4, he again said, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Then he said it in Proverbs 5:1, the verse we're looking at, and then he will say it again in Proverbs 7 and verse 24. It's Proverbs 7:24, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth." Now, if God tells you something four times in one book, it must be important. It must be important for us to attend unto wisdom and to the Word of God. To attend means to direct the ears, mind, energies to anything, to turn one's ear to, listen to. Like when somebody says, "I attended a lecture." Now, they could have meant that I just walked in the door and sat down. But if you really attended it, you not only sat down, then you paid attention to what was being taught. Then you truly attended the lecture. So people will say, "I attend this church," or "I attend that church." You've heard people use that terminology, of course. Well, when you attend church, you should attend while you're attending. Pay attention to what you're listening to. And I will talk about that more as we go through this. So if we're to learn the wisdom of God, we have to focus on doing so by directing our ears, mind, and energy to it. And it takes work, and it's not for the lazy. If you're going to understand God's doctrine, it's going to take work. Why do I understand what I understand today? It's because I put a lot of work into it. And not when I was a preacher, but long before I was a preacher. I was reading for a long time every day, and I was listening to sermons, and after I was baptized, I would listen to sermons on my way to and from work, and I listened to hundreds and hundreds of sermons, and every time in church, I would make notes on the outline. I'd go home, "Why do you think that there are 196 hours worth of notes in this Bible?" Well, that's just the time it took to transfer them. "Why are all these notes in here?" Because I put a lot of time into listening to sermons, studying the Bible, making notes. That's why and of course it's all by the grace of God, with the help of God and the ability that God gives, but that's also why I have a lot of Bible verses memorized. When I've sat down to try to memorize verses, and I've done that, I memorized the whole verse or the whole book of Ephesians one time. And you know which verses of Ephesians that I have memorized now? The ones that I had memorized before I ever memorized the whole book. Because if you don't continually repeat it, you forget it. But all the verses that I have memorized, the vast majority of them, it's just because I've read them so many times, I've listened to so many sermons, I've heard them said so many times, and it just sinks down into my mind. And paid attention to it, and it was important to me, and it meant something to me. And whenever you have an experience like that, if you have a traumatic experience, or you have a really happy experience, or there's emotion that goes along with an experience, you will remember stuff like that forever. And I'm assuming maybe that's why I remember a lot of Bible verses, because the first time I heard that, it just really, like, something spoke to me there, and it really meant something to me. I'm guessing. I don't know if that's why or not. But anyway, I'm just giving you my own experience just to tell you that if you want to learn it and know it, it's going to take work. I didn't get whatever knowledge I have now by using this thing as a pillow at night and hoping that it sinks in by osmosis. Although I did one time when I was overseas spend a lot of time listening to the book of Hebrews while I slept, hoping that I would be able to memorize it while I slept. It didn't help me a bit. I'd heard that the military does that whenever they have people learn a foreign language. They have them listen to the language while they sleep, and they're totally immersed in it. But that didn't do a thing for me. So, but I tried it anyway. I wish it did. I'd be listening to sermons every night. Or not sermons. I'd be listening to the Bible every night. Memorize the whole thing. That'd be awesome. Okay, so anyway, it's going to take work. And the fact that Solomon exhorted his son to attend to his words four times in the book of Proverbs shows how important it is to do so. And then the second half of the verse. And bow thine ear to my understanding. To bow is to cause a thing to bend, to force or bring into a curved or angular shape, to inflect, curve, crook. You know, when you meet somebody in an oriental country and you bow to them, right, you bend in the middle. This is what it's talking about here, only we're talking about a figurative application of bowing. It is to cause to turn in a given direction, to incline. And I underlined that definition because we're going to see that to incline and bow are synonyms, and that word is also used in the same type of commandments in different places in Proverbs. It is to incline, turn, direct, figuratively, to incline or influence the mind. In the phrase to bow the ear or the eye, there appears to be, this is what the dictionary says, there appears to be a mixture of the notion of direct or turn with attention and of bend the head downwards. And that's exactly what the scripture is teaching us to do. I think it's literally, and I will talk about this, like when you want to learn something and hear what somebody has to say, you literally sometimes turn your ear and make sure you can hear them well. And you get in a position, like you ever, they teach you this in sales training. Whenever you meet with somebody and if they're sitting at the table like this, you know, just kind of lounging back, then you lounge back. And if they're like this, leaning forward, you lean forward like that. Because if they're leaning forward, they're interested in you. So you lean forward and you let them know that you're interested in them too. If you were talking to somebody and trying to intently explain something to them, and they were just sitting there like this, you know, with their arms crossed, like just kind of lounging back with their eyes, you know, half closed, they're not paying any attention, right? I mean, their very body language tells you they're not paying attention. But if they're like this, and they're leaned in, and they're looking at you, you can tell they're paying attention. It really does make a difference. How you physically position yourself makes a difference as to whether you're going to learn something or not. But then as the dictionary says also, to turn, to direct or turn with attention. So it's also, you know, figuratively bowing down, paying attention. It is to bend anything downwards, to incline, to lower, often in figurative expressions, like bow thine ear to my understanding, for instance. Now, if we're to bow thine ear, bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, like it says in Proverbs 22:17, we must both literally and figuratively bend our head toward them in order to intently listen to what they're saying. If you want to get it, put yourself in that position. Get yourself in the right mindset. This literal and figurative posture puts us in the mindset to focus on what is being said and to avoid distractions. If somebody's talking to you and you're leaning in and you're looking at them, you're showing that you're not distracted and you're less likely to be distracted. If you're just lounging back and just kind of looking around, it's pretty easy to say, oh, what is that? Oh, and before you know it, you're out. You know, 5 minutes have gone by. You didn't hear a word that was said. That's why I wonder, with these Catholic cathedrals and all the statues and all the stuff on the walls, I've only ever been in one of those places a few times for a service, but you can just imagine when you're sitting there and just start looking around all the stations of the cross and getting all spiritual and whatever the priest was saying probably went right over your head, which in that place is a good thing. You're not going to learn much from him anyway, but if I ever build us a church building, it's going to be as plain as can be. There's going to be nothing on there, no clock on the wall. You can't even look and see what time it is. I want you to be totally zoned in. No windows. Oh, no. It's going to be like a Jehovah's Witness hall. No windows. You're not going to be able to see anything. It's all just going to be white walls right up to the pulpit.
I'm just kind of kidding. You're really going to do away with the clock?
Man, I'll put it in the back so I can see it, but you guys can't.
You have it on your wrist.
That's true, yeah. No, I'm kind of kidding, but seriously, though, if I was going to build a church building, it would be plain, and I wouldn't have a bunch of decorations on the walls to distract people, certainly, and I wouldn't have huge bay windows or something right behind me so everybody's, you know, watching the birds or something, but anyway. So you want to remember this as you listen to sermons, because this is definitely important. So Solomon had before admonished his son to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, there in Proverbs 2 and verse 2. You'll remember we covered that a while back. And he also said in Proverbs 4:20, incline thine ear. Incline thine ear. Let me just make a note there so I don't leave that error in this outline. Incline thine. That's better. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, Proverbs 4:20. Now we're going to see that incline and bow are synonyms, and we just already saw that because the definition of bow used the word incline in it. But to incline means to bend or bow the head, the body, oneself, towards a person or thing, and hence forward and downward. To bend or turn one's ear towards a speaker, to give ear, listen favorably, attend to. So when he says incline your ear, he's saying the same thing. Bow down thine ear, lean towards the speaker, both literally and figuratively. Now, how many Christians will incline their ear unto a talebearer who whispers secrets about another, being all too eager to hear the gossip, but make little effort to incline their ear unto God's wisdom? And that's just human nature, isn't it? There is nothing that will get somebody's attention better than a good piece of gossip. You start gossiping about somebody, you will have that person's attention and they will not be distracted in the slightest. And that is human nature right there. You laugh because you know it's true. It is. It's like most of us are like the Athenians by nature, that we exist for the sole purpose either to hear or to tell some new thing. Especially church ladies. They're the worst. You know, the proverbial church lady. Judy says can be. She's not trying to incriminate herself here. No, I'm talking about the stereotypical church lady that people think of in churches. Really? I mean, they really are. There's a reason why there's a stereotype about church ladies in a lot of these churches. How many Christians incline their ear to the television or talk radio or YouTube for hours per day with perfect attentiveness, but they doze off during an hour-long sermon expounding the wisdom of God? You know, that happens.
How about a 20-minute sermon?
Right. Yeah, if you're lucky in some of these churches. There was this place years ago near where I went to college. I didn't see it, but my professor was telling me that it was a sign on their church, and it was called something like Quick Church or something, and it was like in and out in 15 minutes or something like that. That was their advertisement. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, wow. So acquiring wisdom and understanding requires effort. And this is going to be a review. I've covered this in the past. But when a man is interested in what somebody else has to say and he desires to fully comprehend it, then he'll get close to the speaker, he'll turn his head to ensure clear hearing, and he'll lean in towards the man and focus his mind on what's being said, which is basically what I just said a minute ago. The same level of exertion is required to learn the wisdom and understanding of God. We need to be in that same mindset, to come to church ready to learn. Because in a lot of churches, you come there ready to be entertained, right? Ready to have an emotional high. But that's not why you come to this church, right? Because if you're coming to this church for an emotional high, then you're coming to the wrong place, because you're not going to get that from me, right? I'm about as boring as they come. Mm-hmm. But I think I do listen to it. Uh-huh. There are certain things you are not supposed to say amen to.
Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Yes, you have. Now, where was I before I was rudely interrupted?
Number three.
Yeah, but I was saying something. Oh, yeah, because yeah, if you're coming to be entertained here, you're in the wrong place. Wisdom has to be attended unto, which means to direct the ears, mind, energies to anything. That's the verse that we're looking at here. And to incline his ear unto wisdom, a man must figuratively bow down toward the holy scriptures, which come directly from the mouth of God. Remember Proverbs 2 and verse 6, which says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So if you want to attend unto what God has to say, it's to this book. This is where God's wisdom comes from, out of his mouth, which is his word, which is the scripture. Now, in the New Testament times, it says in Titus 1 and verse 3 that God hath manifested his word through preaching. Titus 1 and verse 3. We don't have prophets in the New Testament church anymore. We did in the first century, but that was long gone after the gifts were gone, the miraculous gifts. But what we have today is preaching. Titus 1 and verse 3, it says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. To manifest is to make known, right? To reveal. So God has made known his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, Paul says, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. And so Paul had the preaching of the gospel committed to him, and then he committed it to Timothy, and he told Timothy that what thou hast heard, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There in, I think it was 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yes. Yes, 2 Timothy 2:2. So it was committed to Paul, and he preached it, and then he gave it to Timothy and told him to preach it. So this is why our church service is mainly comprised of preaching the word, because God puts a premium on his word and on learning it and being instructed in it. And he's manifested his word through preaching. Reading the Bible yourself is good. It's absolutely essential. But if you are not getting the preaching of the word, you are missing out on a major area of instruction. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. God takes one man and he gives him the ability to learn his word and to teach it. And then he gives him that for a full-time job. So while the rest of you are out there working and doing, working with whatever your business is, I am studying the word, putting together sermons. And I spend a lot of time doing this, and I search through the scriptures, and I compare scripture with scripture, and I put together a sermon, and I make a logical presentation either on a passage of Scripture where I expound it or on a topic. And I go all over the Bible, and I find out what is taught on that topic in various places in the Bible, and I put it all together, and I lay it out in a logical manner, and then I present it to you. That would take you hours and hours and hours to do that. It would take you as long as it takes me. That's why God's given me that job. And then I present that topic to you. And there is something about the preaching of the word. If you've ever tried to witness to somebody, and I know you all have, and I have too, and it works about as well for me as it does for you, sitting down in a coffee shop with somebody and trying to explain the doctrine of sovereign grace to them, it generally just, that's not how people are converted, normally speaking. Conversations are different than preaching, right? Conversations, it's a back and forth. Half the time the person isn't listening because they're thinking about the next thing they want to say. But it's totally different when you go to a presentation, whether it's preaching or not. When you go to a seminar and somebody's up there and they're explaining something to you for an hour, totally different than if you were just having a conversation with your friend. You're going to get tons more from the presentation in the seminar. Works the same way with preaching. That's why most people, when they're converted, it's because they were listening to sermons. They were listening. It used to be tapes. Now it's online. And that's just how it works. And why does it work that way? Because God hath manifested his word through preaching in these times. That's why. That's the way that God set it up. So the guy that thinks that he doesn't need a preacher and he doesn't need a church has totally missed the boat. The Ethiopian eunuch, whenever he was heading back home from worshiping in Jerusalem, he was going back down to Ethiopia, and Philip caught up with him and climbed up in the chariot. And he saw that the eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. He asked him, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? That's just the way that God set it up. He could have given us all our personal angel and had him explain it all to us, or just downloaded it into our heads or something, but that's not the way he's done it. He's done it through preaching. And pastors are to speak the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Like I said, I said this just a minute ago, the reason I know whatever I know from the scripture, there's been plenty of it that I've learned on my own through study, but probably the vast majority of it really was through preaching, was through sermons. And my own study, I've just kind of reinforced that, and I've dug up a little thing here or there, maybe that I didn't get from somebody else, but the vast majority of everything that I know, I learned through preaching. And probably I would guess that the vast majority of most of what you guys know, you've learned through preaching as well. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So if you want to learn the wisdom of God, God has ordained that preachers preach the wisdom of God. And that's how you mainly get it. Now, if a man truly desires wisdom, he will expend energy to focus his mind when listening to sermons in order to hear with comprehension what is being taught, while figuratively and sometimes literally inclining his ear unto wisdom. And you guys have been doing that tonight. I can see the way you're looking at me, like you're actually paying attention. You are doing the very thing that I was teaching you to do, which is good. I appreciate that. So I hope you got something out of it, since I could see you were attending unto my words and bowing down thine ear to my understanding.